have the obscene situation where there are three people in one of them who own more wealth than the bottom half of America. Is the system working? In your judgment, is it working? What do you think?
The globalists don't want you just having a job 9 to 5 and, you know, going to the mall and buying tennis shoes or going to play golf or going to church. They think you're worthless and eating their resources, non-renewables.
And for us, what we need to be able to do is to holistically look. It's not about dealing with pandemic preparedness or climate change. It's about how we collectively approach this. This is actually being discussed, you know, as part of the pandemic accord. It's discussed constantly here with WHO and all of our partners of how we work together to address all of these multiple drivers because they are directly related.
They get up there at these big eugenics events.
It's an honor to receive this prestigious award from TIE. I've always believed that innovation is the key to solving the world's toughest challenges, whether it's stopping a pandemic, avoiding a climate disaster.
And then you wonder why he's in control of the whole world's vaccine supply except for China and Russia.
Of all the things that are out there, what could cause an excess in a single year of 10 million deaths?
And while they're doing this, it attacks your fertility.
I wanted to believe for the longest time that it wasn't a depopulation agenda, but ultimately the evidence persuaded me within the Pfizer documents that that's exactly what it is. They knew they were blocking women's ovaries with lipid nanoparticles. They knew the lipid nanoparticles traversed the placenta. They determined that the deaths of fetuses were due to maternal exposure, quote unquote, to the vaccine. They knew that vaccinated women who were nursing their babies were making the babies sick. Their charts, this is why I say Mengele science, they're just charts showing this many thousands of babies are vomiting. This many thousands of babies have edema, which is swollen flesh. This many thousands of babies have convulsions. You know, one baby died of multi-organ system failure.
I've got Bill Gates bemoaning the First Amendment and saying we need to strengthen ways to shut down people. But everything he said about the shot, that it was safe and effective and that it would keep you from getting COVID or spreading it, that's now been admitted to all be a lie. They're the ones with the record of misinformation, disinformation.
If you want to open your history books and look at the biggest purveyor of misinformation in history, do you want to be on the side of the group that attacked him? Or would you rather be him, Galileo? Galileo was absolutely crushed as somebody not just in misinformed, but dangerously misinformed, a threat to the world order. And the Spanish Inquisition had their way with him. It's the same thing about COVID. What's dangerous is when you have a physician or a physician group that becomes evangelical to a cause, not a religious cause, a medical cause. So when the regulators got involved, that's when the excesses come in. Think about now our striving to get to the vaccine. Where are the excesses with masking and lockdowns? Who are the evangelists? Dr. Birx, who runs around the country convincing regulators and governors that they must lock down their states or they're going to kill people if they don't. And that the evangelical physician is where the excesses came from. My question is, you are mandating a black vaccine platform, the mRNA vaccine platform. You're requiring people to get that. Why aren't you as enthusiastic about the whole viral vaccines like Covaxin or Novavax, older platforms that have equal efficacy? Novavax has some of the problems of the mRNA vaccine too, by the way. But why are we even talking about those? Why are there only two brands, literally two brands, all you are mandating all the way down to the age of into early childhood?
So Bill Gates has always been on record, along with his dad, the head of Planned Parenthood. He wants to depopulate you.
If you want to get to zero, you don't get to skip buildings or agriculture or industry or electricity or transport. You don't even get to skip planes or boats. You know, you've got to have it all.
And then he's doing it to us. He's the field marshal, the top general, the chairman. And then people still like, oh, that's like a show, Alex Jones. You know, that's entertainment over there. Oh, that's that crazy guy. He says crazy stuff. No, I'm not saying crazy stuff. They're doing crazy stuff, out of control, dangerous stuff, psychotic mass murder stuff. And I'm up here being attacked and demonized for trying to stop them.
While other networks lie to you about what's Folks, Nerve Renew is in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and this supplement is amazing for a number of different reasons. First of all, we know that prescription opioids and pain relievers end up making us feel groggy, cloudy of mind, and frankly, addicted after time. But with Nerve Renew, we have key natural ingredients. It's a nerve support formula designed specifically for peripheral neuropathy and nerve pain relief. So if you need help relieving your aches and pains and inflammation, and maybe even some nerve damage that you have from an injury or just working with your hands for years and years, Nerve Renew is the way to go. So by visiting InfoWarsStore.com and getting Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top of the website, not only are you investing in your own health, relieving your own pain in a natural, healthy, and safe way, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that InfoWars is under attack. Alex Jones is under attack. Freedom of speech is under attack, but you can fight to keep InfoWars on the air. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and get Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top.
Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
Welcome to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. Today we're going to talk about a book I recently read and lectured through that is crucial, I think, to understanding where we are in the post-COVID world, the post-PSYOPs world, the PSYOPs that were used to roll out and convince everybody of COVID. We're going to be talking about the book by Dr. Joost Merlu, The Rape of the Mind. This is a book that was published in 1956, and it was a summary of the work that he had done as a psychological warfare expert to the Allies during World War II. So he had done a lot of research and information for the Netherlands Army during World War II and kind of summarized all of his studies about totalitarian regimes. It's not just about the Axis powers. It's also a lot of information, a lot of chapters that dealt with the Soviets and the communists and the Marxists and their approach to control. And the book is, I think, really relevant for today, especially if we've been aware of this book. I didn't hear about it until somebody mentioned it in association with Dr. Malone's research somewhere around the middle of the COVID madness that we had to deal with. And they were pointing out how prescient Merlu's book was and how much apparently Dr. Malone was kind of preceded or had ideas that preceded him in this book by Merlu. And so in Rape of the Mind, he wants to cover the idea of what totalitarian regimes require. What must they do to survive? What are all of their techniques and their strategies? What are the things that they roll out to control the masses? And again, this is 1956, recounting a lot of what he had gone through and studied in regard to the followers of Hitler, but also the Soviets. Now, he notes at the beginning something you wouldn't expect. You would think, okay, this is going to be about PSYOPs. It's going to be about human trickery and all that. But he begins by talking about the necessary basis in mind control in terms of ancient cults and the occult. And he says that what must be understood by the competent social engineer or the totalitarian regime is the techniques that were used by ancient religious cults, shamans, sorcerers, wizards, and the ways that they had perfected a lot of these techniques, even in the ancient world. So sorcery, black magic, a lot of that had to do with casting a spell on your target audience to convince them to control, or basically to convince them to worship the state leader. So most ancient world religions and cults were essentially tied to the deity or the divinization of some state leader and the worship of that state leader, be it a pharaoh, be it an emperor, or whoever, a king. And so the king was always very interested in whatever techniques and tricks he could use. And if he could really control the priest class or utilize the tricks of the priest craft, then he would have a tremendous amount of control. There'd be a lot of tools at his hand that he could use. And one of those is, of course, drugging. And so a lot of today's drug warfare or drugging of the population actually has its origins in ancient religious and drugging ceremonies. For example, we covered a few months ago here on the fourth hour, the Cambridge Companion to Western Esotericism and Occultism. There was a chapter on the ancient mysteries, and we talked about how in the ancient mysteries rituals, you had the process of initiation for the mystii, the Eleusinian Mysteries, who prepared for many, many years to undergo this ritual. They didn't know what to expect. It was a great secret. And then they're brought into this temple. They're given high doses of a hallucinogenic drink. The woman pops out, who's the goddess, and she dances naked or whatever. They bring in some popcorn or something, like a corn, a stalk of corn, which is supposed to represent the goddess. I don't know. But it sounds like something pretty intense. There's smoke and mirrors. And so if you're tripping balls, this would really blow your mind. You would be initiated, and it would be a powerful means of controlling this state-associated cult of, in this case, the ancient mysteries, the Eleusinian Mysteries. Modern regimes were very interested in studying those techniques, as well as things like medieval witchcraft or the techniques and principles of how a witch or a sorceress might put something in her enemy's drink or something like this. And so poisonings and so forth, assassinations in the history of Europe, these were always very interesting in terms of the vantage point of the technocratic regimes that were rising at the time of World War II. And this book is going to be very important because this anticipates the rise of technocracy. I think that's the most prescient aspect of this book. I mean, yes, he talks about what basically would be called mass formation psychosis, but he also goes into great depth about particularly the chapter, as we're going to see in a little bit, predicting the rise of the machines, the rise of machine man, and the dangers that that would have for society as a whole if we allowed this technocratic system to come into full fruition. He talks about menticide. Menticide is essentially the death of the mind. And all centralized totalitarian regimes of whatever flavor, they have this impetus, the desire to ultimately utilize the technique of menticide to destroy the minds of their population. Now you think, well, why would they want to do that? Don't they want to mind control the population? Well, you'll see why, because he's going to list all of these great insightful techniques that, remember, this is supposed to be the followers of Tiny Mustache Man, the Hitlerian. These are the ultimate tyrants, according to Merleau, at the time of 1956, closely followed, according to his analysis. I'm not saying he's right about everything, but closely followed by Stalin and the KGB and all that. But what he lists pales in comparison to where we are now. That's the crazy part of this book. We're 10 times further down the rabbit hole than what he describes about the regimes in the 1940s and 50s. He says that menticide is a key component of the tyrannical regime because the mind must be controlled so that it doesn't have any other things to look to or access to critique the regime. For example, objective truth cannot exist with a tyrannical regime for many reasons, but for one, because the regime has to dictate truth. It has to dictate what's true and false, regardless of what's actually true and false. It must be the source and the creator of the true and the false. Thus, any competing systems or standards are necessarily enemies of the totalitarian regime. So there can't be fact checkers that are objective fact checkers. There has to be fact checkers by the system. There has to be Snopes-based fact checkers. There has to be InfraGuard or whatever the various Bill Gates fact checkers are, which are all just going to back up what Bill Gates wants, right? There has to be system control of all of those types of checks and balances because the regime's number one goal is control. He says that in order to further menticide, not only must we have a drug in the population, a dumbing down of the population through the drugging, but also, this was something that I think people still haven't figured out, especially in the normie conservative sphere. People still haven't figured out that, think about this. In the 1950s, Merleau understood that even the Axis regimes and the communist regimes knew the power of contradictions. Think about that. They knew the power of the system intentionally rolling out a bunch of contradictions in a row. And you may think, well, but wait a minute. No, that just means they're incompetent, right? The boobs in Washington, throw the bums out. No. The system, which is run by people above that, is very cognizant of the power of intentionally rolling out contradictions to throw the audience, throw the population off balance. In other words, intentional contradictions, throwing them out in a very fast-paced way is a known technique of tyrannical regimes. Think about back in the time of the COVID nonsense. We heard 1 week, a mask, you're supposed to put it on and it protects you. The next week, no, take your mask off. No, next week, no, you got to wear two or three masks, right? And Fauci would intentionally contradict himself. And everybody said, oh, look at this idiot Fauci. He's so stupid. He's so stupid. They're not stupid. They're cunning. So don't mistake cunning for stupidity. Now, sometimes people in the system are stupid. That's true. The layer of the government apparatus are a lot of idiots. They think islands tip over. Islands are floating, right? But that layer of idiocy there is there for a reason. And we have to be cognizant of that to understand that people way above that, the people that we're talking about today, the social engineers, the technocrats that Dr. Juice Muller was warning about in his 1956 book, same methodology, same game plan, same worldview today, same people, same power structure today. They know that by pushing contradictions, by pushing, again, the mass drug in the population, they can create a form of menticide in the population by which the population is under a spell and surrenders their critical thinking faculties to some other entity, namely the corporate state. Now, when we talk about mass drugging, remember, there was no such thing at this time in terms of World War II of a Big Pharma. Big Pharma was really kind of in the works to begin to grow around this time. And a lot of the drug research at World War II, this is where we get things like MKUltra and the production of LSD and all that. That actually comes out of this time. Now, what would he say about what we've seen in the last few years with the power of Big Pharma and its tentacles all over the globe to be involved in this corporate slash U.S. Department of Defense rollout of all of this nonsense of the last 4 or 5 years. By the way, they're still pushing that you need to get your stabbies, right? Your vaccines. All of that is 10 times crazier than the things that he's describing in the 1950s. And according to various calculations, the estimates are what, 14 to 20 million? That have died as a result of these so-called vaccinations, which are experimental gene therapies. I mean, that's, again, a vast number of people worldwide. Now, he goes back to discussing examples of brainwashing in his time that are kind of key case examples. He mentions the famous case of Cardinal Baczynski, the Roman Catholic cardinal who was taken in by the communist and was given a lot of brainwashing techniques. He was put through a lot of brainwashing techniques. He was put through a lot of torture. And he talks about how this was really experimental to see what worked best to wear this man down. And that if you could break the person, if you could debase them, morally break them through whatever techniques worked the best, then you could extrapolate that and use that on a mass scale. And what have we been saying for so long about these individual studies, these individual psychological profiles of, well, we put this test subject through all of this torture and chaos and mind control and, you know, even studies done in prison camps, concentration camps, labor camps, mindless labor and so forth. What works the best to cause menticide? Because the purpose of menticide is not to create a bunch of totally, you know, basically mindless vegetables in the mental institute, but rather to break the population, break the individuals so that they don't utilize critical thinking and they become re-imprinted repeaters of the state. That's the key thing here. They become this sort of thing that you can, a blank slate, a tabula rasa that the state can then re-imprint the new man upon. And part of the reason they believed this at this time was that it was very popular, especially amongst Soviets, not so much amongst the National Socialists, but amongst the communists and the Soviets, to believe that man was a blank slate. Man was, in fact, a completely determined stimulus response creature like Pavlov's dogs. I'm going to get to Pavlov's dogs in a minute, but Pavlov's dogs are relevant because he's a key figure, not just in the Soviet experience of the creation of the new man, but actually becomes a model for many people in the West who we might think are the opponents of Sovietism, but in fact are doing exactly the same studies, exactly the same types of research, and have exactly the same materialist atheist presuppositions as someone like Pavlov. And I'm speaking of people like Carl Rogers, B.F. Skinner, and others who were supported by the Rockefeller Foundation. So you might think, oh, well, they're going to fight you know, the Rockefeller Foundation is going to put money into fighting the bad guys over in Moscow and the Soviets. No, they're all studying the same stuff, which is control of the human mind. Before we get to Pavlov, though, there's a couple other things that Merleau mentions. He says that we have this drug in the society, we have this propaganda in society, we have this brainwashing of the society, the intentional pushing of contradictions. But we also have the idea of fake guilt. And I thought this was very prescient because at this time, of course, the Soviets and other regimes, the communists, were utilizing this notion of how bad everyone in the West is because of colonialism. And you tried to foist your culture upon someone else and you rape these cultures just for profit, as if all culture, as if cultural relativism is true. Well, no, in fact, some cultures are better than other cultures. Some cultures are wicked and degenerate. Some cultures cook kitties for lunch and others don't. So cultural relativism is not true. But the presupposition of all of the leftists and the social justice warriors and the activists is that cultural relativism is true and all cultures are relative. There's no absolute that can judge between the cultures as good or bad. But the problem then becomes, well, wait a minute, but the same people who say that turn around and say, you're all collectively guilty in the West. White men are guilty in the West because of colonialism and critical race theory and all this stuff. But wait a minute, I thought that you're a cultural relativist. If everything is relative, then there's nothing wrong with this culture doing colonialism or that culture doing or whatever. All things are relative, right? So then you have no basis to turn around and say, evil white man, British Empire colonialism. Now, the British Empire did engage in slavery and different types of techniques of, deception or whatever. But my point is that if you're an atheist relativist social justice warrior, there's nothing wrong with anything. You might not like it, but it's not actually, quote, wrong. But you see the fissure in the mind of the individuals who believe in this, the dissociation that begins to happen. And that's very important because Merleau goes on to talk about tyrannical regimes are not only themselves dissociative, they foist dissociation on the population. In other words, the population themselves dissociate. Why is that? Why would they want that in terms of this process of menticide? Well, one reason for that is because the regimes themselves are at war with objective truth, as we said, right? There can be no competing standards which the regime, the tyrannical system, must submit to because it must dictate truth. If capital T truth exists or objective truth exists, then the regime is bound by certain limitations and certain principles. It can't do whatever it wants. Thus, if a regime desires to do whatever it wants, raw, pure power, brutal Nietzschean Übermensch power, the overman or whatever, the overwill, will to power, then that regime must thus war against truth. But since there is truth, this creates a fissure within the system itself. The system itself is thus warring on what is actually objectively the case. For example, that there are no biological men and women. If the regime adopts this position and then foists this and pushes this on everyone, as it has nowadays, unfortunately, and this goes back to the Tavistock Institute and what they pioneered in the last 10 years to push as a form of psychological warfare and mind control, then they've created an immediate fissure between reality and what the regime dictates as reality. But then there's a mirrored aspect to this where when they push this, because the society looks to the nanny state, the daddy state, which is odd. Like, why is there a nanny state and daddy state if there's no genders? But let's say that it's not about being consistent. It's about being inconsistent on purpose. So now we have this idea that the population is then being told by their authority structure that there actually isn't male and female, that it's actually a social construct, that you can actually become whatever you want, which is not true. But this creates the dissociative state in the mass population who buys into the collective delusion. So there's a reflexive symbiotic relationship then between the system pushing delusion, which they know is not true, but they think they can dictate truth. The population then experiences that dissociation and then further looks to the state to confirm and affirm and back up its collective delusion. And it's not just about gender. That's just an easy example. It's also about, as we've seen in the last several years, the medical establishment's lies about itself and its sacraments of stabbies, the stabby sacrament. And everything that Merleau describes in many of the chapters about the way the totalitarian regime works is that it works like a cult, it works like a religious establishment. And boy, are the parallels striking when we think about the last few years. The dogmas of Big Pharma and the CDC and the Rockefeller Foundation and Bill Gates and the WHO and all these people, right? Their dogmas about medicine and experimental therapy, gene therapies and all this. Well, they're the system. They're the establishment, right? And how does every boomer think? Well, they wouldn't be in power if they didn't have something right. How come you ain't up there in power if you know so much about what you're talking about? I'm on my sixth stabby and I feel good. And then he dies next year. I'm not trying to be mean, but I heard that and had that debate many times in the last 5 or 6 years, right? Now, to be fair, during the period when Quigley talks about in Tragedy and Hope, the rise of the managerial state, he says that the next generation, and he's talking about the boomer generation because he was a generation above them, he says they will be indoctrinated into what we call managerial rule by experts. So unfortunately, the boomers were actually the first to really be that baby boomer generation to really be indoctrinated into the ideas of looking to the medical experts. And we could have never had COOF and all this happen did we not have a baby boomer generation who was indoctrinated by a design into worshiping their doctors and their big pharma establishment. That's their church. That's their sacrament that they look to. And so nobody who questioned this would ever have any hope of stopping all this nonsense the last 4 years had not the boomers as a collective generation who have most of the wealth and were in power at this time foisting this on the rest of the country. And I'm not just blaming boomers. This was a intentional propaganda that was geared at their generation as a test bed for the latest in sophistication of psychological warfare at that time. Now, remember, Merleau is writing a generation ahead of that. But what Merleau is describing in his book is what you see manifested in the next generation, because he's greatest generation, in the boomers. And what is their generation given as their collective delusion and mythology? Total liberation through the 1960s counterculture, which was given to them by design. A fake guilt of the older generation, which the younger boomer generation adopted as their form of activism to bring social justice. This is where you begin to see social justice warrior stuff. It comes from this period of the 1960s boomers. You can look to people like Tim Leary and to people like Terrence McKenna and to people like Barbara Marx Hubbard. To people like Jane Goodall, this generation was flooded with this idea. They were broken through the menticide of the psyops of the generation prior to be a generation that, again, would look to the experts, reject the traditional conservative ideas of religion. They would experiment with new ways of living by design, which Alvin Toffler says was done by design. Stanford Research gave all that by design, changing images of man, etc. They would then raise a generation of Gen X who would pioneer the notions of the next phase of social justice warrior, the grunge movement, the grunge bands, MTV, Pearl Jam, all this stuff, and the nauseating social justice mindset of people like Eddie Vedder, etc. We're talking about psyops and the generational destruction menticide here on the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. My guest host, Jay Dyer.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is hands down the most badass truck in the world. A 2024 AEV Dodge Prospector. This is my dream truck. But this truck won't belong to me. It's going to belong to you, the folks that visit thealexjonesstore.com and enter to win for free by entering your email. Or when you buy products, they put you in five 10 times in the raffle for this bad boy. I'm going to walk you through this, but this is hands down, look it up for yourself, the most badass truck in the world. Folks, I've had a lot of big trucks, but I'm telling you, they don't even compare to this. This sucker is a dream to drive, so smooth in the city and off-road, it's insane. And when you enter to win this, you fund the info war and take it to the globalists. Now, let's talk about this badass truck. This is a freaking monster. Now, you're getting the colors I like the best, this dark green, this black, the red pinstripe. But what really matters is the shocks, the giant tires, the engine. Now, because one of you lucky people out there is going to own this truck, I'm not going to take it off-road. But we've taken other ones off-road. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing like it. Look at this sexy monster, ladies and gentlemen. Woo! And when you enter to win this, baby, you're supporting the info war and you're spreading the word at the critical time going into this election in the year 2024. This truck symbolizes everything that Al Gore and Kamala Harris and the rest of these rats aren't. This symbolizes Americana, strength, power, and the American dream. I love Dodge. I love this truck. It is so incredible. I forgot to mention, this truck is a 2024 $138,000, and when you win, you get $10,000 cash on top of it. Enter to win right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
So they always tell you it's the most important election of your lifetime, but of course, this one actually is. That's demonstrable, and it's also, because it is so important, being censored at every level by the tech companies. We were thinking about this a couple of months ago, and we thought, why not get on the road live in front of actual people, live audiences, coast to coast, a nationwide tour where we can't be censored? That'd be good. It would also be fun. So we're doing it. We're going to be on stage with some of our friends, some of the most fascinating people we know, the most recognizable people we know, responding to what is happening in America this September in real time. It'll be just like the podcast, but it's going to be live. So we're excited to announce that our friend Larry Elder is coming to join us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Our friend John Rich will be there with us in Sunrise, Florida. We're adding more stops. We just added another stadium show in Reading, Pennsylvania. We'll be joined on stage by Alex Jones. They tell you what Alex Jones is like. Have you seen him in person? You should. Make up your own mind. It's going to be fun as hell and interesting and intense, and we hope you will join us. Go to TuckerCarlson.com right now to get your tickets. See you there.
Networks lie to you about what's happening now. InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/show.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
America has been captured. We have an occupied government. Any loyal American who does not want to be a complete slave of a biomedical extermination operation needs to get informed quick, get right with God, and then start telling everybody you know about it and not complying with the system. The system is here to destroy us. Complying with it will get you killed. Period.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you what's coming. At Real Alex Jones on X.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. I want to remind you that I'll be live October 25 and 26 at the Bohemian Grove event in Florida. The tickets, the flyer, is at the top of my Twitter. If you go to my X, you can go find me on X under Jay Dyer, and you'll see pinned at the top there is the flyer and the links to get tickets to that event. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be 2 days of comedy, podcast live. I think Elijah Schaefer will be there. Leonardo Joni will be there. Maybe Shane Cashman and others. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Get your tickets. You can also get my books at the shop at jaysanalysis.com. I have my two Esoteric Hollywood books, working on the third book right now. It's going to be out hopefully in a few months. I've got about 300 pages in Esoteric Hollywood 3. It's a little bit different. It's going to be covering a lot more films, a little more in-depth style with more films. So shorter analyses, more hard-hitting information, and more films. So look for that in the coming months. You can get Esoteric Hollywood 1 and 2 signed copies in the shop at jaysanalysis.com. You can also follow me over on Rockfin. I did just put up a exclusive 1.5 hour interview with most famous living gangster Sammy the Bull Gravano. Now we're talking about Soviet creation of Machine Man. I was talking about the boomers and how they were given a certain specific line of indoctrination. So I want to go now to Pavlov, because Pavlov is a very important character in the history of mind control and technocratic engineering. And he's probably the most famous of the Soviet social engineers and technocrats, because his whole position was based around what we call operant conditioning. And this is the idea that man is basically an animal. There is no soul. The soul is a fairy tale, a medieval fiction. Man is an operant response machine that is dictated by external stimuli. And so if you can perfect the external stimuli, then you can control the input outputs, and thus you can create a completely controlled, refurbished machine man who's an animal. Thus, you could call him manimal. So it's pretty much literally Pavlov's view is that man is a manimal. And his goal with all this was to, quote, get rid of man's inner resistance to what? To the state, to the absolute technocratic control. He's a perfect example of what we see embodied in the figure of someone like O'Brien in 1984, when Winston and O'Brien are having that discourse about truth and how, again, as I've said many times, O'Brien says that you have to believe that the state, that the system, the corporate state in our case, dictates reality itself. That's the key. So Pavlov is tasked then with being able to find the techniques to do this. What are the techniques to create the Soviet man, as he called it, the machine man, the manimal? So you can begin to see that already this is technocracy. This is the idea that man is already just a machine. And Merleau says that the real origin of where Pavlov got this was accepting Descartes' mechanistic view of the universe, a deistic mechanistic view of the universe. I mean, Descartes was maybe perhaps deistic, but in the case of Pavlov, it's just strict materialism and atheism. And so man is really just another collection of molecules. There's nothing special about him. He's just like any other collection of molecules. And so when you have a collection of a dog that you need to train, you train him with the bell and the food and, you know, the Pavlovian ring the bell system, right? As Will Smith sang about, you can ring my bell. Wolf Smith, you can ring my bell. This is the whole model of Pavlov, because if you could control perfectly and understand the stimulus response, the external stimuli, the internal response, and then this feedback loop, you could therefore master man. So he actually had the belief not just that you could destroy the inner resistance, you could also master the individual man and completely reshape and reform and re-imprint him through this operant conditioning to be the perfect Soviet man, the perfect collective man. Man can be totally controlled and explained, he said, and this was the purpose of a lot of these experiments. He also was involved in other things I'm sure you've heard of, like where you see the famous experiments of the mouse, and the mouse is standing on an electrical grid. And if he does the right thing by, you know, eating the food or whatever, he doesn't get shocked. If he does something wrong, he gets shocked. And so electroshock conditioning with mice and probably with humans as well. This is all part of Pavlovianism. And so what we get out of this is the idea of the feedback loop. Now, that's very important, because you might think, well, what does this have to do with machines? And what does this have to do with transhumanism? Well, the idea of creating and controlling a machine man is picked up by other people, not just in the West in terms of psychology, people like Carl Rogers and B.F. Skinner and others who are working on similar types of projects, but this filters over into the idea of Norbert Wiener's cybernetics. If you don't know, Norbert Wiener is, of course, sort of the father of modern cybernetics, and a lot of his research was done at MIT, but what a lot of people don't know is if you read Norbert Wiener's book, Cybernetics, the first 20 pages deals with all of these foundations and people funding him, promoting and supporting his research that just happened to be the Macy Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, and other CIA-connected outfits that are going under cutout names. So cybernetics, according to Norbert Wiener himself, was funded by all of these cutouts, foundations, elite technocratic operators, that then becomes what we know of as MIT. So he goes to do all of this. It's a lot of experiments, and I think he traveled somewhere to do a bunch of research under the Rockefeller aegis, and then he goes back to MIT. So MIT becomes the hub of a lot of this. And then he pioneers at MIT this whole discipline of cybernetics. They're working together with studies that Ewan Cameron was doing at Mont Royal in Canada and McGill University. So we start to get the idea that, wait a minute, MKUltra is not just mind control and drugs and assassins and hypnosis. That's just one tiny part of it. Turns out MKUltra is actually dozens of projects, dozens of experiments, dozens of universities worldwide. In fact, there's MKUltra projects and research that was being done in Australia that people, we've only learned about this in the last 10 years through the internet, in fact. So even in the 1950s, when Merleau is writing about what Pavlov is up to, Merleau doesn't even seem to be aware of the fact that a lot of this type of research is being done in the West at the so-called Free Allies studies, the Free West at the Tavistock Clinic, because all the same people and entities that Norbert Wiener lists, the Macy Foundation, the Rockefellers and all that, well, guess what? They're also all tied into the Tavistock Clinic. So keep in mind, the idea that the West are the good guys fighting the Eastern atheist bad guys during this time period is just simply not really the case. The elites in both of these systems are atheists, and they're both working all the same types of projects to perfect mind control. What happened? Did I give birth? There was a bunch of fireworks just went off. I don't know. Am I coming out as a boy? Is this my gender reveal? Or am I coming out as a girl? Right. So transhumanism is actually an end result of this whole project of what Pavlov was up to, even though he might not have known immediately about transhumanism. He specifically wanted to create the perfectly conditioned stimulus response machine manimal. And this influences later research into the notion of cyborg man. Now, you might think, what does this have to do with any of us? Well, social media and its feedback loop stimulus response has been studied for many years as well by the pioneers of Silicon Valley pushing out all the, remember a few years ago when Jason Lanier and the other people from Facebook were talking about how Facebook was put out to really mind control and destroy people through this feedback loop. And the engineers, remember, they were admitting all this. And that they had invented all these different techniques to addict you and to get you upset and all this kind of stuff, all by design. So the feedback loop is not just about theoretical MKUltra research and mind controlling people in a lab or whatever. It's about projecting this and using this on a mass scale. That's what all this research is about. And all the same entities behind Tavistock and involved in the Tavistock are the same entities behind the MKUltra project and the same entities behind Norbert Wiener and cybernetics. And that's where we get transhumanism today. This ties into DARPA. This ties into the RAND Corporation studies and all that, into creating and controlling and mastering man's inner mind and his inner resistance to break it down. Now, remember the two famous MKUltra books that were first published in the late 70s, Walter Bowers' book, Operation Mind Control, and John Marks' book, CIA and the Search for the Manchurian Candidate. Both books end with a chapter on where MKUltra went after it was supposedly shut down. Was it completely shut down? Well, of course not. It changed names and developed into other projects, MK Search, MK Delta, and other things, focusing on implantable microchips, genetic modification, human augmentation, super soldiers, et cetera, et cetera. So it became transhumanism. For example, look up Dr. Jose Delgado's famous book, which you can't find. Actually, thankfully, do have a copy of it. Physical Control of the Mind, Dr. Jose Delgado. So Pavlov is one of these key figures that contributes to the creation of mass man, collective man, Soviet man. Well, guess who was studying the same types of stuff in the West to create mass man, not through a centralized state control, but through advertising and through public opinion polls? Walter Lippmann, who also worked with Tavistock. public opinion. In the 1920s, they had perfected the technique of mass mind controlling people through opinion polls, fake polls. What they would do is they would take public polls and they would get real information and data, see what the people really thought. And if they wanted to tweak where people, where they wanted people to go, if too many people were against a war or something like this, well, what they do is put out a poll that lies and says that, well, you know, most people support this thing, this war, this policy. And they realized that because most people had a tendency to want to be part of the group, they would change their opinion and go with the majority because they didn't want to be in the minority. So this inherent weakness in human nature to project glory, to want to be part of the winning team, to want to be part of the group and the collective, they played upon that and they perfected the technique of fake and lying polls. We've seen fake and lying polls every day in the last, you know, 5, 6, 10 years, right? I mean, polls lie all the time. The job reports, the Kamala's suddenly the most popular person in the world. You know, all of this fake polls and so forth. That's all perfected social engineering techniques out of Tavistock and out of Walter Lippmann and people who were actually working in advertising. So this begins in domains of advertising in the West. In the East, it's the super state, Soviet state, wanting to control the individuals. And all of this, as we said, was to ultimately depersonalize and to dissociate the minds of the target population. He goes on to talk about the key components of the super state, the technocratic state, Dr. Malou, of using medical submission, medicine, the medical, psychiatric, pharmaceutical arm. Again, Big Pharma is not here yet, but the state's use of these things was being pioneered, especially at the time of World War II and by the Soviets. This was to ultimately create addicts. You say, well, not necessarily to make everybody a drug addict. Well, actually, to a degree, yes, to make everyone a drug addict. Think about how many boomers rely on these pharmaceuticals and these, like, I remember one of my good friends' dad, before he passed away, he had a shelf that he took, like, 15 different pharmaceutical pills every day. And it was obvious that the pills were killing him, but in his mind, because the doctor told him that he had to take these 15 different pharmaceutical pills every day, that's the doctor, what the doctors are God and what they say is law. Even though doctors are basically glorified pharmaceutical salesmen. For the most part, not all doctors are bad, I'm just saying. Now, how do they get to this? Well, again, they utilize studies about mass movements, mass populations, how populations want to not be in the minority, and so you do what you're told the majority says. And of course, mass media plays a key role in that. So remember, even though Soviets are studying the mass man for state purposes, in the West, advertising agencies and corporations are studying the same stuff to homogenize the mindset of the population in supposedly the free West. But it's the same techniques and strategies to homogenize and collectivize. This is where Merleau's book gets very prophetic because he has an entire chapter about what TV and mass media was doing in the 1940s and 50s. So think about this. This is wild. Way before any of the madness that we have today, he was warning about in his day in the 40s and 50s, he already saw TV addiction as a key means by which the state was able to propagandize and control the populations. He's talking about in the West. Television has the ability, he says, to addict people because it creates fantasy worlds where people who are under tyrannical regimes will retreat to escape the dullness, the boredom, the tyranny that's actually going on in the real life under the tyrannical regime. And so the tyrannical state must have all forms of leisure, all forms of bread and circuses and entertainment that allow the population to direct their misery into through dissociation and through fantasy worlds. He says that what will happen is that TV and television and ultimately mass media will kill creativity. Why would TV kill creativity? Well, he says the ease and the convenience of this information in the time of television. Remember, this is way before internet. He says that this will create a population who doesn't want to go through the hard work of reading a book when they can just watch it on TV. And so the mind will dull and will become less creative, because not only does TV make people lazy because they won't read the book, they'll just go and watch some movie or some television version of it. People will be less able to read. They will be less able to critically analyze and think. And they will be less creative because of the reliance on the ease and the convenience of immediate media. And it's about 1,000 times worse now, isn't it, than just the 1940s and 50s television? Another thing that mass culture will do and mass television brainwashing will do is create monoculture. Instead of going to a city or to some place to taste their, you know, exotic foods or to learn about other cultures, you'll watch it on TV. Why go there when I can watch it on TV? But what that does is that will also create a monoculture where the screens will emit to everyone what is the acceptable thing to believe, what is the acceptable culture to accept and to care about, what are the things to not care about. In other words, we'll control and mandate what even questions can be asked. Now, this is a very important issue because, for example, think back to the COOF, right? In that time period of the COVID, there was all these debates going back and forth, right? And I'm not saying that lab leak and all this stuff wasn't a valid discussion to have or debate or whatever, but there were only certain things that you were allowed to even discuss during that time period. Were we allowed to even discuss in the public sphere the fact that these exercises like Event 201 and the SPARS document and Clade X and Crimson Contagion and on and on and on, that might have been examples of pre-planning for this? No, that's not even a valid question to even ask. You can't even bring that up. This is called the magic circle. And famous philosophers like Eric Voegelin talked about this because he says in tyrannical technocratic regimes, the magic circle is necessary to absolutely control discourse. And the way that works is that just simply, you can't ask any questions that are outside of the circle of acceptable discourse. And so all the system has to do is make sure that no one is asking any questions or bringing anything into focus outside of the controlled circle. So you're free to debate whatever you want within this, just never anything outside of it. For example, the two-party system, which we've had, which is super corrupt for so long. Nope, you're allowed to forever debate the normie Republicans and the normie Democrats and never anything outside of that. It's a classic example. So controlling the narrative, controlling the system, controlling the perception of the population is more important. But to get back to the technocratic state, the tyrannical technocratic state, what must it do? It must, as he says, again, this is a very crucial point. It must engage in the technique. This is not idiocy. This is a technique of lie upon lie that are introduced at a rapid pace on purpose, which is an intentional technique of contradicting. The system is contradicting on purpose. Why? Because it forces the population to become passive and catatonic in the face of the power structure that they look to abusing them. It's a form of Stockholm syndrome, you could say. So it demoralizes the population because, get this, it's an intentional technique to not allow the target population or the opposition any time to actually reply with a reasoned response based on logic and reason. In other words, the technique must rely on fast contradictions and lies. Think about perfect example of Fauci in the whole COOF crisis. Intentionally just saying ridiculous things and changing what the science says and then saying he is science. Just totally just nonsense stuff. But that was not an accident. That was a technique that's used by tyrannical regimes. Use lies and make them big, and then do another one really quick. And the opposition is thrown into a tizzy. They're off balance. Before they reply to the first lie, there's a new lie. And then when they try to reply to the second lie, then there's a new one. And how long has Alex been saying? Alex has been saying this for 20 plus years, that the system will do these lies on purpose. And yet we have Matt Walsh and all the normie conservatives that say, we're ruled by idiots and the boobs in Washington. We're ruled by dummies. Well, Biden doesn't know where he is. Like they knew in the 1950s and 40s that a regime can do this as a technique. Another key thing is that the public must be kept not just docile and stupid and all of fat and all that, but they must be kept in a childlike state. This is a very prescient chapter, a very important chapter he calls the womb state. So it's not just that there's the big brother, daddy, nanny state or the mommy state. There's the womb state. The population must be kept in a super duper arrested development status. The more dumb and childlike, the better. And this is called neoteny, or at least in young men or young women or young people when they're not sufficiently mature, appropriate to their age. This is called neoteny. This is, I'm living in mommy's basement. She feeds me chicken tendies and chalky milk. And I do my activism on the internet and I live on Reddit or something like this, right? Neoteny. How does neoteny occur? Well, the super state, the super regime, utilizes the manipulation of archetypes, particularly to reflect the individual or the society's image of the father or the mother upon the state. The state becomes the archetypal father and mother to the individuals, and the role of the actual father and mother must be destroyed, thus the destruction of family. So in order to have a population that looks to and is ruled by the mommy-daddy state, the family must be destroyed. And of course, Huxley says that very clearly at the very beginning of Brave New World. The state must be seen as the mommy and the daddy, and not just that, but also as the womb. I mean, this is what Kamala is actually running on. I mean, wasn't she she was saying to Drew Barrymore, like, they call me Kamami or something stupid like this. Like, she wants to be the mommy. Like, it's Kamalunism and Kamamiunism, right? She wants to be the mommy to the population, and then all of the really dumbed down, like, super low IQ masses of people that think that she is their mommy will look up to her as a perfect example of Merleau's womb state, the danger of the womb state. And so this childishness must be foisted upon the population in general. And get this, he said, in this psyop of the womb state, the super state will foist upon the population, I thought this was wild, cleanliness rituals. Rituals that you must engage in, which are irrational, but that make you a good little boy, a good little citizen. You're keeping to the cleanliness rituals. So, for example, the tyrannical dictator of the 40s and 50s, I don't know, he might make everybody go to these mass rituals and there's some form of purgation or a shouting ceremony, 2 minutes of hate or something like that. But I thought it was fascinating. He said that the mind control studies of the superstates also looked at prison camps and mindless cleanliness rituals that you have to engage in prison camps. Why? For the purpose of mind controls, and he says, misplaced anger purgation. So the anger that individuals will have at the super state misdirected to mindless social distancing, mindless wearing of masks, cleanliness rituals as mind control. This is the Alex Jones Show. Be sure and go over to Alex's store and buy those products and keep Alex on air.
I talk a lot about the high-quality supplements at InfoWarsStore.com and the great things they'll do for your health, your vitality, your stamina, your libido, your focus, your clarity. And I tend to talk about our best-selling products from InfoWars, MD, the Nitric Boost, the Turmeric 95, the amazing CBD gummies, and 1,000-milligram tincture. It's about as strong as it gets, highest quality. But these other products are excellent as well, and they're getting rave reviews. Let's talk about some of these other great products from InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com. Superfood Greens, just a super high quality equivalent to some of the best sellers that are out there. It's got a whole bunch of superfoods in it. You get everything you need in one big dose with all the key cofactors and things that a basic vitamin mineral type system may not have in it. It is a superfood. We also, of course, have Good Night Sleep, just a good, high-quality, natural, herbal sleep system that gives you deep sleep that's so good for your immune system. And, of course, Nerve Renew helps your nerves be healthy and helps a lot with pain. People really, really love Nerve Review. Then we've got probiotic formula, an excellent probiotic. That's so critical to your health because just the chlorine in tap water, if you're drinking that or showering in it, you know, kills the natural flora in your gut. Better Mood really gives you a clean, focused mindset, just does amazing things. And then, of course, I'm really excited about ashwagandha with black pepper. This is an adaptogen, ashwagandha. Your brain, your heart, your mental clarity, your mood, your immune system. It just basically does everything. Ashwagandha is simply incredible. And then, of course, prostate support with the saw palmetto and more that's on record being so good for your prostate. These are just some of the products available at InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com, and your purchase funds the operation. So please do what thousands of others have done. Go to InfoWarsStore.com and check out the InfoWars MD line. Thank you for the support. Check out the products.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.